want to offer my congratulations to Joel and Kendra Blake at the birth of a healthy baby boy. And I understand that the grandparents are doing all right, too. So. A young man named Thomas Stewart attended McGill University in Montreal, Canada, and as a young man, 16 years old, he accidentally put out his eye while he was working with a knife, and the doctor determined that the best course of action was to remove the damaged eye. When the operation was completed and Thomas was recovering, it was discovered that the surgeon had removed the wrong eye. He was left totally blind for life. Undaunted, the young man continued to pursue his dream, and that was to become a lawyer. And so he pursued this course at McGill University, and for 4 years he attended the university pursuing that degree. This was in the late 1800s. When he graduated, he was the first in his class. And another interesting part to this story, as Paul Harvey used to say, page two of this story, was that graduating second in the class was his brother William. You see, for 4 years, William had accompanied Thomas to every class. He had read to him all the necessary books. He had written all the necessary papers. He had become his very eyes. And Thomas gratefully acknowledged that without William, he would have never learned nor become what he did. Unfortunately, his brother William was killed in World War I, just 4 years after graduation, but he went on to distinguish himself as a lawyer. And it occurs to me in much the same way that we also, every one of us, have been blinded by the God of this world. And we cannot perceive truth. And there are many, many passages in the Bible that relate to that. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. And when you think about that, you ask yourself, why is that true? Well, the reason that it is because we're blind. And whenever you call on anyone else in this world with this world's reasoning to lead you, then the blind are leading the blind. And Jesus talked about what's going to happen. We desperately depend on someone coming alongside us to help us, or we'll never see and we'll never know how to make it through this world successfully. In our last lesson, we saw some people who were blind who would never see. And when Jesus walked out that final time on the Pharisees and Sadducees, then he turned the light out and they would forever, because of their attitude about truth, because of their attitude about light, because of their attitude about Jesus, they would forever live and die in darkness. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 5 through 12, and I'd invite you to turn there, that's our passage, our scripture reading, and the passage that we'll use for our text this morning. We saw some last week who were blind who would never see, but this week we're going to see some who are blind who will be made to see. And the characteristics of those who will be made to see is exactly the opposite of the characteristics of those that we looked at last week, those who will never see. Rather than seeking the darkness, they seek the light. They make a conscious decision to follow the light. And that's one of those kind of things that you think goes without saying if you're a Christian, but I think occasionally we have to say those things that seem to go without saying. Because I believe it's really possible to acknowledge the light and yet not follow the light. And I think about myself as a young boy, and lots of boys, in fact, most of the young boys that I know are fascinated with lights. They're fascinated with flashlights, aren't they? And something about flashlights and fire just fascinate boys. In fact, some of us never grow out of it. I have some friends who spend exorbitant amounts of money on flashlights. When you can get a perfectly good flashlight for a couple of bucks, well, they spend $150 for a flashlight. They continue to be fascinated by light. And I think it's really possible for us to be fascinated by the light, to acknowledge the light, to talk about the light, but not follow the light. But those who are going to come out of darkness have to make a conscious decision to follow the light. In verse 5 of our text in Matthew chapter 16, it begins by saying, "But when they went across the lake," and the "they" here is Jesus and his disciples. They're back in the boat again. We've seen them go back and forth in a boat, and now they're going back again. This time, remember what they're leaving behind. Last time, they left the feeding of the 5,000. This time, what they're leaving behind is, in essence, the Pharisees and Sadducees in total darkness. And now they're going to the other side of the lake. And we find here the first mark of those who will see. You see, the disciples had been reared in a Jewish society. They had been taught to honor two groups of people, the religious leaders and the national leaders. And in Jewish society, the national leaders should have been the very best of the religious leaders. That didn't always turn out to be the case, but they had been taught to honor those individuals. The Sadducees and the Pharisees had become the leaders during the Intertestament period. But Jesus was the very opposite of everything that the Pharisees and Sadducees stood for. Everything they taught, that's why they were threatened by him. That's why they decided that they were going to kill him. And now the disciples stood at the crossroads. Jesus has left. He has upbraided the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's left them behind, and now the disciples are standing here. They have to make a decision. We read that story, and maybe it doesn't occur to us on this occasion the level of decision that they have to make, because he has obviously, overtly condemned the leaders of the people that they're a part of, their nation, their religion, everything that they've been taught. And the disciples stand at the crossroads. They had to decide if they were going to hang on to the religion that they had been taught or if they were going to follow Jesus. And as we go back and look at what they had been taught and the people who had been teaching them, in many ways they had been taught what was right. Jesus will honor them by saying, "You do what they say, but don't follow their lead." And so they had been taught right things. Just like many of us have been taught by parents, we've been taught many right things, many good moral things. And they have to make a decision. Are they going to follow Jesus? Or are they going to stay with this religion that they've been taught? Will they remain in darkness and be led by those that are blind? Or will they forsake everything and follow him? You see, this simple trip across the lake indicates their decision. They left the Pharisees and the Sadducees to follow the light. Jeremiah had said, "And you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search for me if you search for me with all of your heart." The word disciple means a learner follower. Jesus is not just a light to be acknowledged and seen and discussed. He's a light that must be followed, and we have to make that conscious decision ourselves. Many people try to hold on to Jesus by recognizing him, and with our mouth we confess him, but we're not actually following him away from the things that in this life that have been a part of our life that are detrimental and conflicting with the truth. Jesus must be followed. And the principles that we're taught must be followed. There are many followers of Jesus until he began to speak to them about the level of commitment that's involved in following him. And if you go to John chapter 6, and we've referred to this passage numerous times throughout this series of lessons, then at this point, that's already taken place. Matthew didn't record it, but John did. After the feeding of the 5,000 the next day when they went across the lake and they began to, Jesus said, when the crowd began to gather, "I know why you're here for the bread. You're here because of what happened yesterday, but I'm the bread of life." And he began that discourse in John chapter 6, and he'll get to the point at the end of that where it will say, "And many followed him no more. They went away," and he turned to his disciples, and he said, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of life." And so they're making that decision. They're making the clean cut from their past. And not only do they seek the light and make this, then that also involves cursing the darkness. Unlike those Pharisees and Sadducees who cursed the light when they encountered the light, then they turned away from it. Then we, as followers of Jesus Christ, must not only acknowledge the light, but we must turn our back on the darkness. We must reject the reasoning of the world. And that's not an easy thing to do. And we look at people who come from a non-Christian background and they make that decision and we're amazed and we can clearly see that decision that they make. But let me tell you something. Every single one of us has to make that same decision. Every single one of us, regardless of who our parents were or what background we came from, we have to make the decision to turn our back on the things of this world and the darkness. And some of those teachings are very religious. Some of those teachings may be salt of the earth, moral kind of teachings. But we have to realize, and when he's going to warn them about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and call them to move away from that, then it's going to be really interesting when we make an application to our own lives that there may be some really religious things in our own life that we've been taught that we have to reject, that we have to replace with the truth because it only gets us part of the way there. Their choice involved not only seeking the light but turning their back on those people and those teachings who had brought them deeper into darkness and who themselves are going to remain in darkness. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9, Jesus closed the parable of the sower by saying, "Let him who has ears hear." In other words, if you have the spiritual hearing capacity, use it. That's one of those, again, one of those things that we may think, well, that's an obvious. But I think there are lots of people who do have the opportunity. God has given us light. We acknowledge that light. But what do we do with it from that point on? Do we really incorporate that into our lives? If you have this spiritual hearing capacity, then use it. In verse 10 and 11, back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9, then he says in verse 10 and 11, "I don't intend," I'm going to paraphrase what he's saying for you, "I don't intend to keep giving truth to people who won't respond to it." He said it in another way, in another place. It's a futile thing, it's a foolish thing to take valuable pearls and keep casting them before swine. At some point, whenever you or I or anyone else demonstrates that we're not going to respond to the truth that God has given us, at some point he's going to quit giving that truth. And he's going to leave us where we are. And so the really heart and point of this lesson with the Pharisees and Sadducees and then his disciples is this. Are you going to follow the light that you've been given? Are you going to respond to the truth that God's given you, not just initially to become a Christian, but I mean as you continue in your walk, you continue to learn things from God's Word, and it's really important to God how you respond to that truth and that you really incorporate that into your life. In verse 16 and 17, the disciples, they come to him and they say, "Do you understand that you insulted the Pharisees?" And he tells them why. He said, "Because they're living in darkness. But you, to you, it's been given to hear and to understand." And I can see those disciples saying, "But I don't really understand. I don't really." And then he continues and he says, the Bible says, and he explained the parable of the sower to them. It's really interesting to me. He explained it. He said, "You have ears to hear and eyes to see." And so he explained it. What was there about them that made them different from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, from those other people? Because they eagerly were receiving the truth. Because when they heard it, they responded positively to it. They put it into their life. They made lots of mistakes, didn't they? But whenever Jesus taught them something, they were trying to absorb that. They were trying to put it in their life, and they kept following him rather than rejecting him and standing back and saying, well, let's just wait and see how all this turns out. Then they made a commitment to follow him, and so he explained it to them. And so the difference between the blind who will never see and the blind who will be made to see is that the Lord explains it to them, to us. And do you know why? Because they're teachable. Because they want to learn. Because they're eager to hear it. Because they respond to the truth. You see, you not only have the Word of God, you have the God of the Word who is living in you to help you understand that. But whenever there is truth that you don't respond positively to, then you're not receiving that Word. You may acknowledge it. You may say, yeah, I know that that's true, and I know I need to do that, and that's what a Christian does. But how many of us actually are in the process that it's our mindset in our life that we're changing our life every day? We're conforming our life to him. Consequently, those who will see the light receive even greater light. When Jesus was here on earth with his disciples, he patiently continued to open their ears so that they could hear, and their eyes so that they could see, and their hearts so that they could understand. And he told them when he was about to leave them in John chapter 14, he said, the Comforter, who's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And that Comforter is living in us also. And if we don't quench God's Holy Spirit, then he's teaching us things also. Let me ask you a question. Those of us who are making a practice of reading our Bibles daily, as we're continuing to encourage one another to do, is it not true? Don't you find it true that God is opening your understanding as you read and continue to read God's Word, even beyond what you read that day? Don't you find it true that when you're in God's Word, that there are things that happen in your life that in a way don't feel related to the reading of the Scriptures, and all of a sudden something happens in your life and you get a spiritual realization, a spiritual truth out of that? Where do you think that's coming from? And let me tell you this, not everybody's getting that. Only the people who are following the light. Only the people who are listening to what God has to say and incorporating it into our lives. I want to look at how the Lord used this occasion in Matthew 16 to teach greater truth to disciples. In verse 5, back in our context, it says, they had forgotten to take bread. Matthew doesn't record it, but Mark does. He says they had only brought one loaf. They had one loaf in there. And so whenever he said to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they began to think he's talking about we forgot to bring bread. And Matthew doesn't record it. Mark does. I find it interesting that whatever God wants us to understand and whatever he wants us to do, as we assess our ability to do that, we usually don't find that we have no resources. What we find is we have obviously inadequate resources. And so as we look at, can I do this? Can I teach a Bible class? Can I lead in a public assembly? Can I talk to my neighbor about the Lord? Can I give this much that's needed in this situation? When we look at at our resources, we don't usually find that there's none. We find that there's a little bit. And human reasoning says there's not enough. And so, since I don't have enough to do the job, then what I'll do is I'll keep what I have. That's the reasoning of the world. But Jesus wants us to move, obviously, beyond that reasoning. And as we look at what we have, how are we going to view it? Are we going to view it from the world's reasoning? Are we going to view it from a faith standpoint? Are we going to say, you know what? I remember what just happened here recently. But they didn't remember that, did they? In fact, Jesus is going to remind them of that. They only had one loaf of bread, and here they were with the one who in recent weeks had created enough food to feed perhaps as many as 40 or 50,000 people. And they're thinking, we don't have enough bread. Now, how interesting must Jesus find that? They were concerned primarily about their physical needs, and that's all they could see. You see, you can identify a mature disciple because of his reactions and his interactions and his perceptions and his perspective. They'll be on a level other than, we only have one loaf of bread, and so we don't have enough to do the job. He'll not be overly concerned or overwhelmed because of physical conditions. If there's something the Lord wants us to do, then we realize the Lord's going to provide whatever we need to do that. And that's the way He wants us to think. How many of us really make a practice in our life of thinking that way? And there, the reaction of the Lord, He knew what they were thinking, and He said, if you'll let me broadly paraphrase Him, He said, are you kidding me? Are you still thinking about bread? Don't you remember what has happened here just recently? Jesus wants them to move from a physical situation to a deep spiritual truth. These disciples will soon be on their own in just a few months. And they're going to need to be aware of the yeast and of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're going to need to be aware of the influence that the religious leaders have on the people. And if they're not aware of that yeast, then they're going to be caught up in it and they're not going to be effective in the gospel. Now, I want to see if we understand what He said. When He said, beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. It'd be really interesting if we were in a Bible class just to take time for each of us to write a paragraph and say, okay, what is He talking about? You see, leaven, and you know this, when bread was baked, a lump of that dough, at that time they couldn't go down to the store and buy this, is it Fleischmann's yeast or whatever? They couldn't buy these little packets of live yeast. They had to preserve it from what they had. And so each time they baked a loaf of bread, then they would preserve a little piece of that dough that had the leaven in it. And that would sour and ferment, and it would be put into the next batch of dough, and it would permeate throughout it. They would take another piece out and continue to do that same thing. So it came to mean that which is left over from the past and is applied to the present. Beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That which came from the past that you apply to the present. And that's the symbolism that God used in not allowing Israel to take the leaven when they came out of Egypt. He said, I want you to leave all of that stuff there. We're going to start over brand new. And when you come out of here, you leave all that leaven there. And so they had the unleavened bread as a new start. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. We think about the influence that the Pharisees had. The Pharisees were, their influence was legalism and ritualism and ceremonialism. The leaven of the Sadducees, on the other hand, was liberalism and skepticism and rationalism, or, if you will, humanism. And Jesus was saying, don't be influenced by those extremes. And you have an extreme on the right and you have an extreme on the left. And most of us, depending on what our background is, we react to one or the other fairly naturally. We see and we tend to condemn the extreme on the right, or others of us tend to condemn the extreme on the left. And He says, beware of the leaven on both sides of this deal. And it doesn't make you righteous just to react from one extreme and go to the other extreme. Do you see what He's saying to them? We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. As Christians, We have to not only see the evil on one side of this, or the dangers on one side, we have to see the dangers on the other side also, and continue to have a balance in our life. The disciples, Jesus is saying to them, I want you to be aware of the influence that both the Pharisees and the Sadducees have. I want a pure loaf. Keep that leaven out. The disciples held a business meeting, and since they lived on the physical level, they said, well, it's because we didn't bring any bread. And Jesus said, have you forgotten when I fed the 5,000 with five loaves? And how many basketfuls did you pick up? Have you forgotten when I fed the 4,000 with seven loaves? How many basketfuls did you pick up? I can't believe that you're still thinking about bread when I talk about this. Don't you understand? And those who come to the light, they're taught by the Lord. He repeats his earlier statement. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then the Bible says, and then they understood. They're willing to be taught. They're willing to hear what he says in their ears, in their eyes. Their hearts are open, and they respond to that. You see, the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees corrupts people, and it corrupts churches. The church in Galatia started out in the spirit, but they tried to perfect themselves in the flesh. That's the influence of the Pharisees. The church at Colossae, on the other hand, was threatened by liberalism and rationalism. And you can read about that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 23. The leaven will do its work. As you read Revelation, the beginning of it, some of those churches listed there were literally put out of existence because of the influence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Some because of secularism or materialism or legalism. And the Lord begs us that it not be so. Are you responding to the truth, or are you simply acknowledging it? When the light comes into your life, what do you do with it? When you read a truth, when you come to understand something that God reveals to you, what are you doing with it in your life? If you're not a Christian and God has, and you've come to understand God's plan of salvation and how that he sent his son to die in your place, and he's made it possible that you can be made as righteous as he is because he gives you his righteousness, and that you receive that by faith, and that faith causes you to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be immersed in water to have your sins washed away. Have you responded to that? Do you simply just acknowledge it? And as a Christian, when you are made aware that there are things in your life that you need to change, that there's sin in your life, and that sin separates you from God, how are you responding to that? Do you just simply acknowledge it as if that's enough? Or are you truly following the light? You see, there's two classes of folks in this world. There are those who live in darkness and die in darkness. And there are those who are in darkness who will be made to see, because when the light shines into our lives, we respond to it. Which group of persons are you in this morning? Think about that really seriously while we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good?